You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up tonight after 7, it's Reveal. This week, Reveal goes back to the Spotlight Legacy, a groundbreaking newspaper investigation into abuse by Catholic priests that led to the exposure of crimes around the world. That's tonight after 7 on the Ideas Network.
First, we continue our occasional series on presidential leadership advice. Last Thursday, we heard from a Wisconsin expert on servant leadership.
Our next guest says presidents should learn from the failures of past administrations to learn how to avoid failure themselves. We talked to her about her book on presidential failures a while back, and now she joins us with her thoughts on the incoming Trump administration.
Elaine Kmark is with us. She is a senior fellow in the Governance Studies Program at the Brookings Institution and the director of the Center for Effective Public Management at Brookings. Her most recent book is Why Presidents Fail and How They Can Succeed Again. Elaine, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me again.
You tweeted 2 weeks before the election, Elaine, so we didn't know who was going to win at that point. Quoting here, the next president needs to spend more time governing, less time talking. What did you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is that when you look at the really big failures presidents have had, the kind of failures that are not unique to one party or another, the kind of failures where everybody, whether they're of the president's party or opposed to the president, agree on the fact that, that's a basic screw-up. Those kinds of failures are due to governmental failure, and presidents get the blame for it, and their political power is decreased. Sometimes they lose election, depending on when it happens in their term, and presidents need to pay attention to the implementation of their policies, whereas modern presidents have spent an awful lot of time and still do talking, traveling, giving speeches, and they need to sit back a little bit and make sure that what they want to get done happens properly.
Well, now let's talk about Donald Trump. Now, we do know who won that election. From what you've seen of him as a business person, as a campaigner, do you feel like he can step away from that communication role and really focus on the details of implementation?
Well, it's interesting because I think that may be his fatal flaw, is that he is addicted to talking and promoting and not addicted to actually implementing. In his business dealings, he was all PR and all branding, and other people actually did the building and the, you know, actually making the buildings happen. So if he brings that into the White House, he could be in trouble. Now, there's a way it may work out that Mike Pence is actually the person who worries about the details of government and getting it done. But Donald Trump doesn't seem to have the inclination for the details of policy and government that would keep him from getting into the kinds of big failures that previous presidents have had.
Now, presidents have come from different backgrounds. Some have been governors of states like Mike Pence with some experience in management like that. Some from the Congress and elsewhere. Now one from the business world. Can a president make up maybe for some of those shortcomings by appointing good managers, good detail people around them?
Sometimes they can. The problem is that what our recent presidents have tended to do is that the people closest to them during the campaign remain close to them when they're in the government. So what that means is a campaign's put a premium on talking, showmanship, branding, all of those things that become a lot less important when you're actually an incumbent and people blame you for outcomes. So if you bring the same people in who are good at doing those things and who helped you win, generally they're not very good at implementing policy and making the government work in the way you want it to work.
Talking to Elaine Kmark, author of Why Presidents Fail. She's sharing some thoughts on the incoming Trump administration, saying we can learn from the failures of past administrations of both parties to make an administration more successful. You recently wrote a piece post-election, Elaine, what Donald Trump should know about Washington. And you talk about the role of the often vilified federal bureaucracy and the civil servants there. What should Donald Trump know about them?
Well, the first thing he should know is he can't fire them, okay? He can't go into offices and say, you're fired. They are protected by the civil service law. And while we like to dump on civil servants, the fact of the matter is that if show me a country that doesn't have a professional civil service, and I'll show you a place where you don't want to live. So they're people we like to hate, but we do need. Secondly, is that if the president of the United States walks into an agency, everybody would be very excited and have lots of selfies with him, et cetera. But he can't tell them to do something that's against the law. In other words, he has to change the laws in order to change what the vast majority of civil servants do, because they're not out there operating in a vacuum. They're operating according to laws that are on the books. Now, it's, you know, obviously, Donald Trump thinks we should change a lot of those laws. Frankly, I think there's a lot that could be changed, too. But you have to do that first. You cannot – this is not like the private sector where a new CEO takes over and says, we're going to do this now, not that. It's, in fact, quite different because you are the people who work for you are bound by the law.
One thing that's kind of unique about Donald Trump coming from the business world, there have been a lot of stories over the last couple of days about potential conflicts of interest. If he's doing business in another country, how does he manage that? How does he separate himself from his president self, I guess, from his business owner self? Issues of transparency there. What would be your advice along those lines?
This is nothing but trouble for him. He and his family have to get out of their business dealings. They have to be very far apart from their business dealings. This will be nothing but trouble. He criticized Hillary Clinton a great deal during the campaign for using her position as Secretary of State to help the Clinton Foundation. And I'm not commenting on whether that was true or not. I actually don't think it was. But frankly, the Clinton Foundation was a charitable organization that actually gave away a lot of money. If he's in the White House and there is the perception that he is using the government or using his position to help his family for-profit business, this is just not going to work. I can see even constitutional issues arising from it. There's an obscure part of the Constitution called the emoluments provision that says that a president can't use his ability of foreign affairs to enrich himself. So this is a total disaster, and they really ought to clean this up fast.
We're talking to Elaine Kmark from the Brookings Institution. She's the author of Why Presidents Fail. She is sharing advice for the incoming Trump administration on how to learn from the mistakes of the past and not fail.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think Donald Trump will be an effective manager of the federal government? Do you see him getting competent advisors who will help him run things smoothly and effectively? How do you see possible changes to things like the Affordable Care Act, immigrant enforcement, NAFTA, and other government policies shaping up? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And we're continuing our conversation with Elaine Kmark, author of Why Presidents Fail. She says a new administration should learn lessons from past presidential failures. And she says step one is talking less, managing more.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have confidence in Donald Trump to be an effective manager of the federal government? What questions do you have for our guest about presidential leadership? What are your hopes and fears for Donald Trump as president of the United States? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Elaine, I want to get into some specific policy areas to talk about maybe some of the complexity of doing things that may be simple to say out loud, like repeal and replace Obamacare. What would be involved in something as really complex as that?
Well, first of all, it's the law of the land, so they will have to send legislation to Congress, basically repealing it. Once they do that, the members of Congress and the public will realize that there are pieces of Obamacare that everybody likes, like the fact that insurance companies can no longer reject you for a pre-existing medical condition. Okay, so what'll happen is that's probably the most popular part of Obamacare. What'll happen is members of Congress, spurred on by people at home, will say, oh, well, let's keep that one. Well, once you keep that one, then you have another problem, which is the insurance companies say, hey, wait a minute, we're already having trouble with people who are very sick at being the only people buying insurance. And of course, if you have only sick people buying health insurance, it's kind of like having only people with DUIs buying auto insurance, right? I mean, the market just doesn't work. And so down the road, there's a problem with that one. So before you know it, you're in trouble. I like to quote President Clinton, who gave a talk here at Brookings not too long ago, and he said, you know, they pay us, presidents, to look down the road and around the corner. And this business of looking around the corner on policy and policy change is really a tricky one. Many experienced politicians who've become presidents get all twisted up in this. And so now we have someone who's never done politics going to try and do some pretty complicated things.
Right. And we saw with the rollout of the Affordable Care Act some serious bumps in the road, especially that whole website implementation. One of the problems you wrote about in your book, will we see similar problems, however Congress decides to tackle this, in how the administration would have to implement those changes?
Yeah, we certainly will. I mean, the big problems are going to come with the cessation of the subsidies. Okay, what happens to people who are already in Obamacare if Congress pulls back the subsidies for their health insurance programs? Are they grandfathered? Is this eased out? Are they suddenly dumped from one year to the next? Is there a transition provision written into the repeal law? This is kind of a complicated business, and we're now it's affecting millions of people who have Obamacare. So you can get, even if there is the political will, which I think there is, to try and substantially change and repeal Obamacare, unwinding an existing program that millions of people are participating in is no simple matter, either logistically or politically.
Let's bring in a caller now at 800-642-1234 with Willem in Colfax. Willem, hi.
Hi. I don't think he can be successful just by the example that he's already led so many very radical people that he's surrounding himself with. I give an example of this General Flynn, who is called a Muslim of the Islamic faith, that it's a radical political ideology, that it's not a real religion. There are a billion Muslims in the world. Many of them live in the United States. The First Amendment of our Constitution says that we have the right to practice our religion, and it's one of the Abrahamic religions. I think to insult that many people in the world puts our country at risk. I think it's a disqualifying statement.
Well, thanks. I want to get our guest in and maybe get another caller or two as well. Elaine, what do you make of the picks you've seen? As you mentioned, presidents often pick loyal campaign people. That Donald Trump so far appears to be no exception.
Well, I mean, look, reality will hit Mr. Allen and Mr. Trump at the same time. There are many ways in which we cooperate with the Islamic world. We cooperate with countries in the Middle East. A lot of times that cooperation actually helps us avoid terrorist attacks. Similarly, we cooperate, and if we respect the Muslim community here in the United States, there are plots uncovered on a regular basis. Some of them we hear about, some of them we don't. So what the flip side of their sort of hardline approach is that, ironically, it's by being respectful of these nations and this religion that we actually can protect ourselves because, frankly, not all Muslims are terrorists. That's kind of ridiculous.
Willem, thanks for that call. Go next to Todd in Menominee Falls. Todd, hi.
Hello.
What do you think?
I think Donald Trump is a powerful individual, and like Kellyanne McCormick said, when she managed him, you can't make him conform to the standard. She had to go with the non-conventional, and you can't count Donald Trump out. I think he'll be a powerful president for this country, and I think it'll be exciting to see what he does. And maybe he will do some wonderful things.
Todd, I know that a lot of people. Thanks for the call. I want to get Elaine Kamark in this before we run out of time. Maybe we've underestimated Donald Trump through the campaign. Maybe something about his personality, his management, will end up paying off.
Well, it's entirely possible. He is a powerful person, and he is quite skilled at communicating with the public, etc. The problem a candidate like Trump has, and a lot of presidents have had, I mean, I write about Obama, I write about Bush, I write about Jimmy Carter, is that when you are president, reality takes over. And you, at some point, you are called upon to deliver the goods. And if all you are doing is talking and not paying attention to implementation, then after a while, the voters kind of get sick of you and they ask, what have you done for me lately? So let's just have an example out there. A year from now, will there be more illegal immigrants deported in 2017 than there were under President Obama in 2016 or 2015. Okay, obviously that's a metric that we can apply to President Trump. I think if he figures out a way to implement his harder line policy, there should be, right? Those numbers should go up. But if he runs up against a series of laws he can't change, or if he discovers that, gee, we already have been deporting a great number of illegal immigrants, his supporters may feel a little bit different. They may feel, oh, he sold us a bill of goods. So this remains to be seen.
We'll leave it there for now. Elaine, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Well, thank you for having me.
We've been talking to Elaine Kamark, director of the Center for Effective Public Management at the Brookings Institution, author of Why Presidents Fail and How They Can Succeed Again.